not quite 1/4, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keene,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life.
All right. Welcome back to the podcast. I would like to actually welcome back Susan Adams onto the podcast. And I say welcome back because we had an incident early on in our podcast career, which
will be the first time you get to hear, but
this is her second go full gorilla life. So she's showing us that she is full gorilla into the podcast. Yes, she's ready to do this. So welcome back.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you coming back on.
And for the reference, somebody in this room speaking right now forgot to hit record.
Right.
So we did an entire podcast with Susan without recording it.
The cool thing, though, is that we actually got to listen to ourselves through the headphones and the mic the entire conversation the last time, and we thought that was enough, but apparently you had to hit record.
Yes.
All right, so.
Actually, as we speak, I've checked 3 times to make sure.
Yes, it is recording. I do see it as well. So since then, we've added a new element to this to get to know our guest for our listeners, and it's called the Gorilla Gauntlet. It's a 10 rapid fire, answer the best you can. You can say pass if you'd like. And it's just something fun that we've added in the beginning. So here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Married or single?
Technically not married, but not single.
Fair enough.
Okay. I have my okay. Any children?
Yes, one.
City you live in?
Ellesmere.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Favorite movie or book?
So many, but I'm going to go with The Princess Bride.
Oh, okay. Good one. Beer, whiskey, or wine?
Ooh, whiskey.
Oh, all right.
Oh, hey.
That's the first whiskey.
Yeah. Favorite genre of music?
Country.
Okay. Reservation or just walk in?
Walk in.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. And she
favorite type
and
of
she
food?
Owns a restaurant.
We'll go back to that in a second. You guys do this every time now. It's like the new thing.
you did it.
No. So, all right. Well, I'm going to finish. Favorite type of food?
Fried.
Okay. What do you drive?
I drive an Acadia.
All right. So going back to, thank you very much. You did really good there. Going back to the reservation, they give me a hard time because they make fun because I want to make a reservation. But our listeners are going to get tired of hearing the story.
For Chick-fil-A.
No, that's bull.
Yes.
Because they all want
to have a long to-go line. Right?
The drive-through line. No, they do. Because it's like 3 or 4 of our groups of families together. So we're talking 10 to 15 people. Mm-hmm. So as a restaurant owner, you appreciate a call-in for that? Okay. So they're going to keep doing what they do. But the only time I call for a reservation is when we're in double digits, and she, the restaurant owner, appreciates that. So I'm going to leave that there.
If we show up with 16 people, you're going to be mad at us?
I'm going to seat you. I would have preferred to know ahead of time so I could move some tables together. Yes.
But
I'm not going to turn you down, and I'm going to be very happy.
Yes,
exactly. I don't make reservations because I can never
I like that you're trying this back to you guys. But in this moment, at the restaurant owner, from where I'm coming from, appreciates it. So we're going to move on to this because it's become the entire podcast.
What kind of whiskey?
What kind of whiskey? Oh. Maker's Mark.
Okay. Maker's Mark. Okay. Nice. All right. Neat. Okay. And for people that don't know what... Okay. Yep, that's exactly
what?
It.
What? Neat?
So neat means not like just...
It's straight. Like
just
not,
straight up.
Not on the
Do you
rocks
do like the like... Oh, you don't put it on ice at all?
Water sit down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
Fair enough. I like the nice big ice cube.
Well, that...
I don't drink, but it looks nice to me.
If you're doing like an old fashioned or something, it's super fancy.
Now, I went to a place in Boston and this guy, I was lucky enough to be in a... It's a Chinese restaurant, right? It's a Chinese restaurant. However, this guy is like... known for his mixed drinks. Like he actually wins competitions around the world. That's pretty cool. And the one cube, and I took a picture of it because I kept on talking about it for like days, but it's a cube and it was clear. You could see all the way through. I'd never seen anything so clear. It was awesome.
I went to a cocktail bar in Charleston and each drink had different shaped ice. So depending on what you ordered, they had like an appropriate ice that was supposed to
come. So what were some of the different shapes?
That sounds
so you could have like a giant block, like a giant square
okay
cube that's almost as big as a glass, or round. Or they could, they would chip it if it was something that was like more rum based. So you'd have chipped ice.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Or half so, moons.
I've seen those. Those are cool ice cubes.
It seems very.
Did they have any like? Do they have any that have like ice like Chick-fil-A? Because they make a good ice cube.
I feel
we're
like
really off topic. I want to, you know, what kind of.
I feel like even if it's mental bread. Though, like I appreciate this somebody that goes the extra mile.
Yeah. Well, that's just it, right? Because like I actually looked. It made me look up like what do you have to do to get a clear ice cube, and you have to use like purified water. You have to boil it. Let it cool down, but you have to like have it covered while it cools down so it doesn't get any kind of dust or anything. And then you have to boil it again. And then after that, then you can try and see if it'll come out clear.
That's a lot of work
if
for an ice cube.
If somebody's going to spend that much time on an ice cube, they, I would assume they are making very good drinks.
Or it's phenomenal. Gosh, yes. That's really good. Now, here's the thing, though.
If
is
not,
that,
they bamboozled you with their ice cube.
Right. But here's the thing is that I actually went with a friend of mine who he decided to not get mixed drinks because this place is known for their mixed drinks, but he went with a neat type of drink. And I'm like, I feel like you're just wasting.
Well, did he like it? Did he like his drink?
He can get it anywhere.
Yeah, but did he like his drink?
Can't screw that up. Yeah. But did right, he we're like, way off yeah. topic. We're, so Susan we're Adams is a county commissioner in Indian River County.
So true.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story? How did you get to be a county commissioner? Where'd you start at?
Well, actually two things, right? So you are a county commissioner
yes.
and a restaurant owner.
Correct.
Right? Yes. And you are the restaurant owner of
Marsh Landing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, yeah, to Corey's point, if you don't mind just giving us a little bit of background on.
Sure. So let's see. I was here in school, graduated with you guys, went away to college. And in 2004, the double hurricanes mm-hmm. Going to hit. My mom had already purchased the restaurant and opened it in 2002. She bought the building in high school and blah, blah. But anyway, so my dad had double hip surgery. So I came home to help mom that summer board up the restaurant. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Marsh Landing, it has a lot of windows. So mm-hmm. it took a long time. And that was before everybody had shutters. So we're cutting yeah. plywood. So I came back and I had graduated law school, but I hadn't gotten a job. And to be completely honest, I really didn't want to get a job as an attorney, but I didn't want to tell my mom that. So I just made myself indispensable at the restaurant. So after a couple months, she decided that she needed me and didn't ask me when I was getting a real job anymore. So she got stuck with me. And once I came back, there was an opening on planning and zoning for the city of Fellsmere. So I applied for that. And then there was an opening on city council. So I ran. My first election ever. It was amazing. I got 82 votes and I won by 6.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. So every
that's
vote
small
counts.
Town America right there.
That is. So that started as me as a council member for the city of Fellsmere. And then a year later, they elected me mayor and I served there for 8 years, I believe it was. And then I decided there was going to be an open seat on the county commission. So I threw my hat in the ring for that. And we are.
Wow. Okay. Nice. So
how many votes did you get for county commission?
A lot more than 82.
A lot more than 82. What's yeah. it take to win a county commission seat?
Well, I got 70% of the vote.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So you take about 70% yeah. of the vote.
Yeah. Okay. take that other guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Other person not known.
No,
now.
Congratulations. No. Congratulations. So, all right. So you mentioned that you didn't want to go back. So you were in college at FSU, right? And that is where you were actually studying to become a lawyer.
Correct.
Right. And mm-hmm. so you went through the whole process, but then you came back down and then you're like, all right, I'm not going back up.
Right.
So at that point in time, what did you start off doing? How did you make yourself indispensable?
I started off actually, you know, my mom is a big believer in you have to work your way up just because you're my daughter doesn't mean I'm going to give you any special favors. In fact, when we were in high school, she had a plant nursery. I worked there in the summers several years, and she fired me a couple times. So you have that
okay.
from your parents.
You're a high
That's
schooler.
Awesome, yeah. right?
how does she deliver that? That's what I want to know.
I'm sure it's like, different than a different employee. It's probably different
I don't know because like my parents like could be pretty harsh.
Well, I feel like she might be harder probably on you or what she yes. would say with you than she might – to be
it
professional
was something along the lines of you don't need to come back to work.
Okay.
Okay. Can I still get my paycheck though?
It was weeding plants. I really wasn't going to fight with her about it.
Yeah. So. No. Yeah. We're good.
That's fair.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Mom.
So
at the restaurant, I did not have to do that. I started as a hostess.
Okay.
And I had bartended in college, so I would bartend as well.
Okay.
So at what point during your schooling to become a lawyer were you like, I'm not really sure this is for me, but I'm in too deep kind of, was that what it was like? Or did you not realize until you were done that you were like, I'm not going to do this?
Well, since this is our second go at the podcast, I'll be honest. To be honest, when I started law school, I really didn't want to be an attorney. I just didn't want to get a job with my bachelor's degree because it was a marketing and finance degree, and those seemed very boring to me.
Okay.
So I had a little extra money in my college account and decided to go to law school because I do find the law fascinating. Mm-hmm. And how they teach you, it's a whole different way of thinking. It's not so much the subject matter. It's more critical thinking and those types of things. So it was fascinating. I really did enjoy law, and I'm glad I have the background.
Yeah.
But I didn't want the idea of sitting in an office and just pushing papers all day didn't appeal to me. And I wasn't comfortable in a courtroom, like arguing.
Okay.
I'm much more comfortable now arguing.
Yeah.
At the time, not so much. So.
I would think the law degree definitely gives you some background knowledge in what you're in now with the county commission and the mayor, city council even. Probably helps quite a bit.
It was really helpful. But because when I was in law school too, I got to work with the legislature since we were in the Capitol. So that aspect of it, I really enjoyed.
That's where it all began then. Okay.
When you went from making that decision, that jump, how hard was it, right? Because now you have used... I don't want to say like you haven't wasted time because you're always learning something. I feel like if you're learning something, you're not wasting your time, but you've spent a lot of time learning law with possibly or hopefully becoming a lawyer, but then you're like, I'm going to pivot and do something different. That's kind of a hard decision to do as an individual. So how did that come about?
My grandfather had a restaurant when I was growing up. So I always enjoyed the concept of restaurant business. And my mom always owned her own business. So that was kind of the model that I had. And I always wanted to do that, but unless you know what you want to do, I mean, that's a big gamble to start your own business. So thankfully she kind of had one in place. I just weaseled my way in, to be honest. Yeah. I mean,
you got to take what's given to you too, you know? I mean, you don't want to.
But she wasn't the biggest supporter to start with. Like the ongoing joke for many years was, you're that, you know, highest educated employee we have at Marsh Landing. What are you doing? When are you going to go get a real job?
Interesting.
This is a real job, Mom.
Yeah.
I'm helping you out.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm here for you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to redeem myself from the time you fired me from weeding.
We always laugh and I say I'm still grounded from high school. So I have to work here under parental supervision.
That's awesome. Yep. So how often do you work at the Marsh Landing now?
I'm there 3 days a week now. I used to be there, you know, 5, 6, 7 days a week. But right now I'm there like usually 2 nights and then on Sunday. I've always worked on Sunday since I started, which is funny. We were talking about that the other day, yeah. I've been there 16 years and always have the
Sunday,
shift.
Nice. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So when you came back and you started at Marsh Landings, and you decided you were going to get into politics, and it's something that your mother had done, we had previously spoke about. Did she think it was a good idea for you to get into politics? Or was she like, yeah, you should use your law degree in some way? Or was she like, don't get involved?
My parents were both supportive. My mom and dad were both elected officials. My dad before I was born, but and my mom while I was growing up. But you know, it was funny because my mom had just retired from the commission when I came back.
Okay.
She'd been out just a couple years. So people were still coming to her and asking her to get involved in things and be on boards and committees and these types of things. So she kept like giving them me instead, like, oh no, but here's my daughter's number. She'll be happy to help you.
So what do you think for somebody that wants to get involved in local politics?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What is the easiest way for them to get involved?
The easiest way for people to get involved is most local governments have committees citizen committees, volunteer committees, official appointed committees, put in an application for that, or just start showing up to your meetings and giving, you know, there's time for public input. You're welcome to give your public input or just listen. But the more you're present and the more you're there, the more you will find those opportunities to get involved. And it doesn't have to be on a government level. It could just be with your local homeowners association or your community association. I mean, a lot of people start there and then they find issues that really resonate with them, and they'll take those issues as a platform to move up in different organizations.
Now, do you advise against anything? Because in my head, I've been to several council meetings, not necessarily for input, but I feel like there are the same people there that get up and give their opinion on a monthly or weekly basis about the same thing over and over again. And sometimes things just don't change as fast as people want them to, or it's not in the best interest of the entire community, or there could be a thousand different caveats or reasons why they're still upset, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Would you advise against that, or do you say, no, be the squeaky wheel, you'll get the grease?
Well, I think it's all in how you deliver the message. So you can be the squeaky wheel and kind of get up there and rail against the same thing every meeting, and you can do it in a way that's going to make everybody tune out. While what comes to mind is people that are very accusatory or negative or personally attacking, you know, members of whatever board or commission, versus those that just kind of get up and say, hey, I brought this up last time, still an issue, what's going on, and do it in a more positive and constructive, like collaborative way.
Yeah.
Because I have meetings where people get up and say the same thing, but the ones that get listened to are typically not as aggressive or scary, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. If somebody just wants to hold the board or, you know, the commission accountable, like, if they get up and say, hey, what's going on since the last time, as opposed to just saying, why aren't you doing anything?
Yeah, because that's competitive, right? Then the defense mechanism comes into play and you're like, hey,
you're trying to defend yourself instead of give a reason.
Right, and that's
not
the position you want the person that's trying to answer your question to be in. And the other thing is the wheels of government are very slow to move. And I think a lot of people... And it's even different from the city to the county. Like with the city, we were able to do stuff a lot faster. We were smaller. We were more nimble. The county's like this giant beast. It's like trying to turn an aircraft carrier versus an offshore boat.
I don't think we covered what district area or the area are you?
Sure. So I'm District 1, which is basically... It goes all the way out to Blue Cypress, anything north of State Road 60.
Okay.
Until you come into town, and then I run west of 66th Avenue, so 66th Avenue and 60.
Okay.
All the way up to Sebastian. I kind of wind a little bit through Sebastian to County Road 512, out to US 1, anything north of that.
Okay.
Wow. So nice. I have the largest geographical district, and... I think I have about 10,000 more people than
the
other ones. Okay. But I have a lot of cows too. So.
One to one. What's the ratio? What's the ratio to humans now? Is there anything going on that people wouldn't be aware of that's maybe in the works that would be exciting to share out? There might not be, but I don't know if there's something.
What's exciting to me and what's exciting to everybody else is generally very different.
That's all right. Well, what are you excited about?
But for me, we're talking about expanding the rails trail. So we've been working with the buffer preserve to get that brought all the way into the city of Fellsmere. So I think that's pretty cool.
So they're going to go all the way through and get it to Willow? Or are they thinking all the way to Willow?
All the way
area?
To South Carolina, to Broadway.
Oh, wow.
Because it goes, and then eventually it's supposed to go all the way out to the new lake that they put out west of town.
So to our listeners, our town has Rails of Trails. They partnered up, and we have a really nice trail for people to run, bike, and take their family across. And it goes up and over our major highway with a really cool looking bridge, and then goes over into the preserve. So that's kind of exciting to hear that. We'll go further.
We were coming in to the exit, me and my wife, 2 days ago, and she said, man, you drive under this bridge and you think you're pulling into a place that's like a lot more exciting than Sebastian
Felsmere. Right.
And as much as I love Sebastian and right. Felsmere, yeah, you, I mean, you it gives it you that image.
It gives
like
you
you're pulling
a cool vibe. I do.
Disneyland or Disney World or something.
Yeah, I could see it because it has trains.
That's something we worked on for a really long time with DOT. They wanted to put in, when they did the I-95 expansion, they wanted to put in just like what you would see down south is just a pedestrian overpass, mm-hmm. like something concrete back and forth, chain link.
Oh, like, yeah.
No, that would be horrible. This
yeah.
is,
and lame.
And lame, yeah. totally.
Let's get away from that.
So we worked with them to have a cool design.
Yeah, so a question that I have is, so as you're going into politics, was there ever any concern because you are a restaurant owner, right? It can be kind of polarizing, being on a political side, right? You have to pick a side with the way we're built. So was there any concern with that? Negative feedback for the restaurant?
Not so much with the restaurant business, but I have friends that have other businesses and it's more of a concern for them. You know, some that are attorneys or CPAs and that kind of thing. For me, it's not so much because it actually the restaurant's kind of helpful in the political world because they're both very social, so it's a good place to kind of have
kind of network, if you will.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But we are very careful about making sure if we're catering parties and those types of things, there are firewalls and separations. Like I don't handle any of that.
Gotcha.
And we don't bid on certain parties because of my role because it would look
okay.
Bad or
yeah, I could see how that would get definitely a little muddy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You just wouldn't want anybody to bring that up at the next commission meeting or something like that.
And it's not that there would be anything, necessarily bad about it, but it's the look.
Not that you'd be doing anything wrong, but
it's perception.
Perception.
Exactly. Perception is reality.
You have a third really branch of things that you stay busy with, and I think, and we're a few months away from it, obviously, but something that we get here every year. Frog Lake Festival.
Oh, yes.
We didn't really get a chance to talk to that. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and kind of the development and how that's grown in itself?
First of all, before you even start, my sister says thank you from the Felsmere Elementary School because the Frog Lake Festival, it supports
the cultural arts, if you will, the PE, the art stuff, correct there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is pretty powerful. Awesome.
Yeah, they sent us a letter this year, a thank you letter, which is always kind. They always do that, which is great. And the kids always, have their handprints all over. It's so cute. We hang it in the restaurant because we have the frog room that has all the restaurant memorabilia. But I guess they're getting ukuleles this year. So
DePardo.
Yeah, awesome.
DePardo is getting ukuleles. So we'll have the drum group because they always kick off the festival with a little presentation. So I'm hoping this show they'll wrap the ukuleles into it.
Maybe they could teach us some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or awesome.
Or they could be part of our ensemble.
What time's class? We get there. We figure out a way to get there. Time's class?
Exactly.
I bet if we all showed up, they wouldn't kick us out.
No.
I have an ukulele, so I could bring my own instrument.
I mean, we show up. Yeah.
Yeah, they might kick us out.
I used to work there. I might have a little bit of pull. You got not pull. Not really pull, but I could at least say, hey, and find a weasel.
He knows which door to sneak us
into. Yeah. They're all locked. It's single entry.
Yeah, single point entry now.
That's true.
They are serious with that single point entry.
I went the other day.
It's good, though.
It's nice, though.
It is really. It definitely adds an element of safety.
I feel better having family that works there.
Mm-hmm.
It's much nicer for sure. I'm sure it's a pain for them, but once they get used
to it. I think anything time change happens, though, it feels like a pain, but within whatever, depending on what the big change, it just happens and you forget about what was doing before. You forget about it.
Exactly.
But Frog Lake Festival.
Sorry.
No, of course.
Totally down another path here. So the Frog Lake Festival, we're in our 29th year. It started in... my mom, again, all these stories get back to my mom, so I apologize about that. But my mom and some of her friends were sitting around one day, I think having one too many cocktails, and decided that they needed to come up with a funding source for youth recreation in the city of Felsmere because the city didn't have a recreation program. So they're like, what can we do? What's different about us? Well, we have frog legs. Well, people will come to a festival for frog legs because Grant had the seafood festival and... Mm-hmm. They're like, what are we going to call it? So, we'll just call it the Felsmere Frog Lake Festival. And that's
which
how
honestly
started.
Is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely brilliant. The simple and extremely effective.
So Winterfest was in the running at one
point. Oh, no.
But then they had
lost
a couple more beers.
Yeah,
and Frog Lake.
That's
so
smart.
So that's really how...
That's really how it got started. Yeah. So
there you go, the history
year,
of...
That's awesome.
The first year, everybody in town, we had a couple of the... everybody used to have fish fries, the churches did. So the guys brought us some fryers. We put them out in front of the old school. There was like one tent. I remember mom had us help her make up some games. So we had like pig patty bingo. We had a white boot contest where you fill the white boots, the fishing boots with grits. And then the guys had to like do a three-legged race.
Oh
and
my gosh, that sounds amazing.
We had like a casting contest and all sorts of.
So what was the first year? What was that? What was the date?
It's 91, 92, oh, wow. Right. Something like that.
I mean, we could have done the math of the 29 years, but I figured I'd just ask.
I know. And I'm not a math girl.
So. We're going to make you do the math.
91 plus 29, 2020,
1990. Okay. Yeah. And so the first year they had the t-shirts made. That was like the big thing, like the Kiss My Frog.
My dad still has that shirt, I think.
With the dancing frogs in the frying pan?
Yeah, we need to get that. I need to see that.
Okay, I'll ask him. I'll ask him to put it on the, on the book.
Or he could just take a picture and send it too. I
meant like I'll have them put it on Facebook.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I'll see if he still has it.
So they sent the shirt to Al Roker. That was when he was on the Today Show and he would do the weather.
Yeah.
And he would wear all these weird shirts all the time back in the day. So they sent it to him and he wore it. And
what?
And he was like, you gotta go out to the Frog Leg Festival. And nobody was expecting a lot of people to come because literally they just threw it together.
Yeah, but Al Roker said something.
So all right, how quickly did they put it together? Like they started like in June and then January came around?
Pretty much.
Christmas drinks and February
they started buying frogs. And we had all the local frogs. So we the first day, it was a Friday, so they didn't really think anybody was gonna come. They figured Saturday and Sunday would be busy. So half the committee went to the movies that afternoon. And this is before cell phones. So
Yeah, they're
about
gone.
About 5 o'clock, people start rolling into town.
Because Al Roker said to come on in.
Yes.
Yeah.
They had to call the highway patrol to direct traffic off of 95 because it was backed up so far on 95.
That was the first, that's like an example of today's like going viral.
Yeah. Yes. Totally. Yeah.
They went viral in 91.
With Al Roker.
Yeah. We ran out of frogs the first night. Like within hours.
So the weekend was a bust and no more frogs?
No, they sent all the air motors out. Every night the guys would go out.
That's awesome.
Gigging frogs to bring in enough. In fact, the first night mom sent me and my sister around with a list of people that had, like said they had like a couple pounds in their freezer here and there. So we had to stop by all these houses.
That's pretty insane.
And she's like, oh, if you see anybody with an airboat in the yard, stop there too. And we weren't really old enough to be driving, but back then in Fellsmere, you could totally get away with it. So,
you go.
Yeah. That is awesome.
That's a great story. That's a really cool story.
That is really cool because we think about doing stuff like that all the time, but we never do it.
Yeah. Well, if we were going to start a festival, you think we could put this something together for Gorilla in a couple of months nowadays?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think too with social network, you could
it would be work, but you could totally pull it off. And then you just build something and you grow it.
Yeah. This is going to be crazy.
And now we're like in the 29th year. Okay. Should I not be encouraging this?
No, you should. Well, it's always good to encourage the three of us when we're in the same room. It really is.
And there are cocktails involved. So,
I'm about to pop a beer. Yeah. Let's make this happen.
Awesome.
About to go neat.
And it's changed a lot over the years. Now we're downstairs in the basement of the old school. We have the carnival associated with it now. We have beer now. We start buying we go through like 5,000 pounds of frogs and 4,000 pounds of gator in 4 days.
Do you like frog legs?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you?
I don't mind them. I feel like most of the time.
Tastes like chicken.
I hate to say that, but it really does. Like, I don't like comparing because I love a diversity of food, but the texture and everything is like chicken.
They're very
like
similar.
Tiny little chicken legs.
Yes. Yeah.
With toes.
So what I want, if I'm eating them, I
like
want.
Toothpicks.
Oh, I never. Yes. Oh, it's like, it's all inclusive. It's an all inclusive little nibble.
Yeah. So if I'm eating I want like a sauce like my chicken wings. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're not diverse enough to like have like. Like sauces,
is there buffalo frog legs?
We can start this.
Why don't we? Yeah.
Yeah. Buffalo frog leg festival.
Do you offer random sauces and dips at the frog leg festival? I don't know. This might be a new.
We offer some buffalo.
There you go. Hey,
there you go.
Well, I like the simplicity of that.
Yeah. I mean, you put crystal on it, but I want it. I would rather have it like tossed in sauce.
I have
like
a customer
chicken
at the restaurant that comes in and gets his frog legs fried, and he likes it tossed in barbecue sauce.
And barbecue, yeah,
barbecue fried. Wings. See, I feel like
Okay,
that's a.
And we've done smoked frog legs at the restaurant. Those are really good, like on the smoker.
Okay.
So my son has he doesn't like to eat anything, right? He's like, I'm not going to try it. I'm good. Burger King. However,
yeah.
Shout chicken out to nuggets, BK. You know, mine does too, pizza, yeah. that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. However, he wants to try frog legs.
So really? You're going.
Yeah.
For him.
We are. Next, film it. In January. Yeah, we'll film it.
It's in January, right?
When is, yeah, what's January. It's always the third Thursday in January. That's right. So we had to add Thursday because it was so busy. Because originally it was only Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I mean, I go every year. I don't know. It's just such a small town. It's Frog Leg Festival in Fellsmere and 4th of July in Sebastian. Mm-hmm. Is like,
agreed.
That makes me feel like I still live in a small town.
Yes.
Like,
agreed.
Those are probably my two favorite like holidays, small town. And I know Frog Leg Festival isn't necessarily a holiday, but around here.
But it's a tradition. It is, yeah. It's something that we've known since as long as we can remember. So
yeah. And when you get connected to your community like that, it is a holiday, yeah. really.
And the good part is that I didn't realize this until last time that you were on, is that it actually gives back to the community, which is actually really cool.
So the money that we raise every year, we reinvest in the city of Fellsmere or in the surrounding area for recreation. I know we talked about the elementary school. So we fund the music program, the cultural program, and the PE program. And then we also send the second graders, I believe it is, to swim lessons at North County Pool if they're not able to swim. We also... over the years, we've donated money to the city that started the renovations of the old school, which is now City Hall. We have upgraded and paid for basketball courts and the scoreboard at the Little League field. In fact, we provided grant matching dollars because the city can apply for grants, but a lot of times they don't have the matching dollars. So we provided them $25,000 last year for a matching grant to redo the Little League field and the concession stand. We bought in scoreboard, goalposts for basketball and baseball and football and all sorts of stuff.
That's definitely cool.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
Well, we certainly think you're an extraordinary person doing extraordinary things.
Yeah, you're all over the place. You have all kinds of stuff.
I mean, you own a restaurant. You're on county commissioner. You know, you're doing a lot of stuff for the community.
I didn't want to be an attorney because I could just be stuck at an office.
We need to start doing something.
Yeah, well, we got the podcast.
Okay.
You guys are doing all sorts of stuff. You're getting the word out what everybody else is doing.
That was me rolling my eyes.
They heard it.
All right. Our final question. Based on your experiences, what is one of the most important pieces of advice you feel like you could give our listeners?
Based on my experiences, the most important piece of advice, I think, is just to get out and do whatever it is that you're talking about doing. Stop putting it off. Just jump in, both feet in, and start doing it. It might bomb, it might be good, but you're never going to know unless you jump all the way in. Do it.
Awesome.
I appreciate it
so much.
Thank you for being on. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thanks for coming back the second time.
Again, this is Corey. We appreciate you guys. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, you can email us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com.
And if you want to see what's going on our social media, you can get us at Twitter and Facebook at Full Gorilla Life and on Instagram and Facebook, I said, right?
Yep.
Messed that one up. At Full Gorilla Life. And then on Twitter at Gorilla Full. Like beautiful, but with a gorilla.
All right. And please do not forget to hit subscribe on your podcast app of choice.
Got it right this time.
Got it right. Hey, and I bombed.
Look at me. I have the shortest one though.